Okay, I've got 4 o'clock. Is everybody ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
Yes, can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Roger, can you? Okay, good. Thank you.
Looks like first thing is employee recognition with Janae.
And I was muted, and you would think IT would remember that. Thank you guys so much for recognizing me. Today, we want to recognize Johnny Lunsford. Johnny recently completed his undergrad degree utilizing Rogers Water Utilities Educational Assistance Plan. I emailed Johnny and Brent last week, letting them know how much RWU had put toward his education. And I'll just share that with you real quickly. We had spent a total of $18,804 for Johnny to attend and receive his undergraduate degree, which he did just shy of a 4 point. While working full time, getting a brand new grandchild, through a pandemic, I am just so impressed with him, work ethic, and what he was able to do. And I wanted to thank the commission for allowing us to support our employees in furthering their education, because I know this made a huge difference in Johnny in his life, and we've seen just a change in him as well. So thank you and congratulations, Johnny, on being our newest graduate at RWU.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye. How you going, Johnny?
All right. Okay. The April 19th, 2021 minutes, everybody had a chance to go over those?
This is Roger. I have, and I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as stated.
Okay, have a second.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for the approval of the April 19th, 2021 minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, minutes are covered. Okay, next is financial reports. Jennifer?
I'm actually going to have Matt Sable. He's our senior accountant. If he's on, I'm going to have him present this month, as I've been out of the office. And I feel like he's worked on the financials a little bit harder than me this month. So I'm going to pass it over to him. And if you have questions, I'm more than happy to answer.
All right. Matt?
I'm here. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So for this month, our billed revenue was up 10.23% from April of last year, but we did have one more billing day compared to April. Our water consumption was up 13.38% from last year. We did have a loss of $12,000 this month. Last April, we had a profit of $87,000. The difference, we had a $73,000 increase in revenue, but we had a large increase in expenses of $172,000. A large portion of that is water we've been sending to Bentonville. Brent can tell you more about that, but we sent them approximately 58.8 million gallons, which we have not yet billed them for. And we also had 3 pay periods in April of this year, as opposed to last April, which also contributed to the increase in expenses. Our fiscal year to date collections of access and impact fees is for dysfunction year 21 was $1,018,000, and we are ahead of budget by $518,000. And this compares year to date access and impact fee revenue of $719,000 in financial year 20 and $488,000 in financial year 19. And our year-to-date profit is more than the prior year and ahead of budget. And as for sewer, our billed revenue for the month of April is up 7.71%, and we do have the additional billing day. Our sewer consumption was up 10.22% from April of last year.
Yes.
And the sewer department did report a profit of $256,000 for April of this year. Last year's profit was a little higher at $288,000. When we had minimal increase in revenues this year of $18,000, but a larger increase in expenses of $50,000, which was mostly due to that third pay period we had. Our fiscal year to date collections of access and impact fees was $2,095,000, and we are ahead of budget by $1,112,000. And this compares year to date access and impact fee revenue of $1,492,000 in financial year 20 and $1,126,000 in financial year 19. And our year to date profit is more than the prior year and ahead of budget. As shown on the lost water report, lost water for the month of April is 14%. We're at 16% for the calendar year, and 15% is for the last 12 months. Our total restricted and unrestricted funds are $41.1 million for April 2021, and this is an overall increase of $4,962,000 from April of 2020. The water funds increased approximately $2,644,000 and sewer funds by $2,317,000. $5.5 million of the $41.1 million total funds is restricted for specific use, such as debit service, meter deposits, access and impact fees, and depreciation. And currently our lobby does remain closed, but I was informed by Brent that we are planning on reopening it in June, but he can tell you more about that if need be. If you have any questions, let me know. Thank you.
So on the water that we sold to Bentonville, if this would have been like the month of June, would we have accrued for that since it would be like year end, accrue for that sale since it's an expense for us, but it's
yes
not okay. Yes. That's what I was hoping.
Yes.
And I can understand why not doing it right in the middle of it all, but yeah, okay. So we'll see an uptick for that next month.
Yes, yeah. If we don't go ahead and bill for that, we will accrue it. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and Roger, they took roughly 58 million gallons in April and another roughly 134 million in May before they finally got that repaired. So you'll see it next year as well. Next month.
Okay, so they had a repair and they needed our water. Was that over out by NWAC? Where that pipe goes?
The repair was just north of Tucker Elementary along School Street there. And supposed to take 2 or 3 days, and it wound up taking considerably longer from April 21 to basically the 12th of May with a few. That includes the test we did, but basically during that whole time we were sending them water.
Okay. Well, it's good that we were able to help.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we sent it all through the same connections they originally had that hadn't been opened up in roughly 14 years. So it's a good test.
Wow.
And it works both ways. If we ever get in trouble, that it works both ways.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. We'll go to engineering reports. Brian.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the summary. And as Matt mentioned, as we're getting closer to getting back to normal, Most of the engineering staff that was previously working from home is back in the office now. So we have some sense of normalcy around here. For the plan review in April, we had 9 new civil plans total come in for new sites. Notably, there's 3 residential subdivisions in there. So we're starting to see some of those larger subdivisions come back in. The city street projects, Arkansas Streets under construction, and for the other, some of the other upcoming projects, the overpass projects and JB Hunt, we have no word of a bid date set for the time being. Utility projects, I'm sure you're aware, in April we had some significant rainfall events at which time we've been evaluating some areas where those channel bottoms have eroded and scoured out and exposed some of our water lines. So here's a couple of examples out along Highway 12 and out near Montanay area. And then in the Promenade area, we've got an exposed sewer line and water line here in the Pinnacle area. So, you know, each one of these, we kind of look and see whether or not we need to actually lower the line or armor that that channel in some form. So that we're evaluating those. We're continuing to see issues caused by supply chain materials and labor. Costs are up, and we've recently spoken with our contractor who won the bid for the 2021 waterline project, and he's telling us 10 to 12 weeks for material availability. And this is a ductile iron pipe project. I think what we're starting to see is some of the shortages in PVC actually affecting ductile. We're continuing to monitor that, but it seems like a lot of these projects are gonna push just because of that material lead time, even after we get the bids. Persimmon Street project, we're still behind schedule, but continuing steadily on that. The field ops and administration facility, we have a recommendation today for the commission for a construction manager, a general contractor for that project, and we are still in the process of narrowing down that concept plan with Height Jackson. For the Pinnacle sewer improvement, RJN is expected to submit preliminary plans this week, which will our next step will be speaking with the golf course about the schedule for that project. And then we're also preparing the bid documents for the 18-inch crossing at I-49 and Ajax. And we are delayed a little bit getting an easement on that property on Ajax. As I said, for the 2021 waterline projects, we had a pre-con meeting last week, but we're still at least 6 weeks out from starting construction on that one due to materials. On the master planning, Friesen Nichols has submitted their draft capital improvement plan. We provided comments on that, so they're addressing our comments. The water master plan update, Garver is working on build out modeling and capital improvement plan. With RWU supplying Bentonville with water for a couple of weeks, that was a good opportunity for us to monitor some pressures around our system. That helps, since our system was somewhat stressed, supplying two cities with water, it was a great opportunity to calibrate the water model. And so we've been working with Garver over the last couple of weeks to do that. That'll give us some good information. The smoke testing we had scheduled for May with Trek has been delayed due to weather. We really need some somewhat dry soil conditions for that testing to be effective. And so that's also been delayed. As far as the plant projects, our train 2 is under construction, and they're currently working on concrete and joint repairs with the solids handling phase 2 with Hawkins Weir and Black and Beach. We're following up with some of those manufacturers and evaluating site layout options, and we do expect to get a conceptual engineering report early June to help evaluate some of those options from economic and non-economic standpoints. So that's all I have to report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Todd, looks like pollution control facility report.
Thank you, guys. Good afternoon. Looks like, you know, another month in the facility there where our treatment itself is doing fine. You can see we're not stressed in any way there. That being said, with the rain, we did overflow. We had more flow than we could handle. I'll address that in our significant events. Pre-treatment, Paul highlights what our current surcharges are for pre-treatment versus previous year. I feel like this is a lot more accurate to what it actually costs us to treat the water. And we did see some positive trends in the ammonia that was causing us trouble this year. I hope that trend continues, and did note that we haven't had the trouble treating ammonia this year that we had last year. So I think those had a positive effect in the way that our industries were sending us water. Amber's, as always, is doing a good job. She's got some, you know, detailed stuff on here she works on, and as well as, you know, the 30,000 foot and working on the future stuff. So she's being very organized and taking good care of our fog program. I'm really pleased with that. Significant events, as Brian mentioned, our train 2 rehab is underway. Operations remain minimal issues. They're doing a good job staying on their stuff. Crossland Heavy is doing a good job in maintaining that and keeping our work site safe. You're still looking for a maintenance technician. We've had a couple of interviews that went well, but nobody's crossed the finish line of being hired yet, so we're still working at it. We did overflow the equalization tanks, like I mentioned. It was one event, and it was a large one, and you know, I don't know of anybody in Northwest Arkansas that didn't have overflow, so it was quite an event. We did finally get our headworks equipment that we ordered back. I want to say we ordered it in August. We finally got it. So shipping has been slow, to say the least. My guys have been working. I believe it's probably being finished up as we speak. So as far as being installed, so we're going to take a look and see what we can do about sourcing that more locally, since it looks like getting it in a timely manner is not going to be an option in the future. So that's something we're working on addressing. It looks like you can see we had pretty significant rain events all in one, really. But there were 12 events, 4.75 inches. Typical is 4.1. So, you know, 135 million gallons from INI is about what I'm estimating based on our average flows and dry last year of 7.6. And that's what I've got. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. You guys have a good afternoon.
Next item is the fiscal year 2022 budget. Jennifer?
No, we operations. Johnny has operations reports.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Johnny.
That's all right. I was going to let you skip me.
No, we're not going to do that.
A lot of the things that I wanted to talk about has been touched on. You know, Todd discussed the overflows and stuff for that month. We probably had the most overflows that I had to report in 9 years of being here with the rain and stuff, you know, at one time. And then to the Beaver water, you know, with the sending water to Beaver, you know, I'd like to commend our SCADA department. They did an excellent job maintaining and being sure that all of our stuff was working and everything was working with Bentonville as we were sending them the water. They did an excellent job of taking care of that part of it, you know, and just monitoring everything. You know, it was something we had done before, but hadn't done it in quite some time. So with Mark in there, you know, we had the experience from before of doing it, but you know, it was a learning curve for the new guys, but they did overall. I appreciate the work that they put in because they made it all go smoothly. We're in the same boat as Todd trying to hire people. You know, we have extended some of our work area, work hours a little bit. We're working some overtime trying to get caught up on some jobs. You know, we had planned on trying to work some weekends, Saturdays and stuff to get caught up a little bit, but the rain keeps interfering with our Saturday work. So, sorry, I'm looking at my notes. And as I said, we're back under the COVID. We're actually all back as one department now because of us being shorthanded for me to make the on-call crews. We had to have people working together that was outside their pods just so we could cover off our on-call because of the loss of four employees. So we are, as I said, all of our pods are back together. They're all in one group now, so we can continue to work. And that's my report, unless you'll have some questions.
Are we running shorthanded?
Yes, sir.
And what do we attribute that to?
Finding people. Right now, you know, I mean, we had some leave because of, you know, he retired from, and one retired. We had one move to Texas. We had another one leave because, you know, his wife was needing to start some school and he had to be home to take care of the child, you know, why.
Okay.
That was going on.
When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, it does, you know, and I mean, and Dana is doing an excellent job, you know, and we're screening the candidates, I think, a little harder than we have before. So, you know, we're just not taking people, you know, we're trying to be sure that we're getting a good fit for our employees and stuff out back that are, you know, staying and working diligently to do their job and get everything done. So.
Let everyone know we appreciate their hard work and efforts to get through this.
I will, sir. Thank you.
All right. Now we'll go to the budget with Jennifer.
Okay. I'm going to present the 2022 budget. Let me fix my screen a little bit. All right. Went too fast then. So just as a refresher, we look at the water and the sewer department separately like we do in our financial reports. So the water department will take me a little longer because I'm going to start and it'll be a refresher and the sewer department will go much quicker. As I'm presenting, feel free to ask questions if you wish. So. The first item that we're going to look at is the water department, the cash budget. So in this budget, we have three columns, and it shows how much cash that we're planning to use next year and in this current year. So the first column is what we originally budgeted in fiscal year 21. The second column is where we estimate we will be as of 6/30/21. And then the final column on the right there, the final dollars on the right there is what we are proposing for the fiscal year 22 budget. So in the water department, just a high level overview, our revenues are anticipated to be much higher than we originally budgeted, which is good news. And that's attributed to our residential water revenue and their access and impact fees being very strong this year. Next year, we kept the residential, commercial, and industrial water with an increase of 2% for growth, as well as included our upcoming rate increase that is going to be effective on 7/1. So that's why you see those 14 and 15% markers there. Interest income, we definitely anticipate to use some cash this year, and interest rates have been negligible. So we are definitely decreasing those interest earnings that we anticipate. Access and impact fees, we are dropping that compared to this year. Fiscal year 21 is the highest year to date that we have ever received, and we don't know that that trend will continue. We use our best estimate of what those will look like, and then we take a conservative approach. So next year we're saying 720,000. That could be higher, it could be lower. It just depends upon the contractors and the building environment. All other income we've kept moderately the same. Miscellaneous and service charges, negligible increases. So we're looking at 15 million of revenues next year for the water department. For operating expenses, this does include some of our capital. We're looking at 15, almost 16 million. But if you remove that capital line item here where my cursor is, 7 million, and compare that to the same numbers the prior year, they're very similar. General expenses include an increase for Beaver Water District purchases. We are anticipating a rate increase from them next year. They did not have one last year. So we are anticipating one from them. We also include additional staffing that we'll go over when I present more our upcoming software needs with our billing software and accounting software and our GIS software with engineering. We have a lot of software changes next year, as well as other normal increase in expenses for, you know, cost of living and materials, as Brian said. So debt service, that is the amount used to pay our debt that we have outstanding. We currently have two issues outstanding in the water department. One of those is eligible for call to pay off in fiscal year 22. However, as we go over this, we anticipate spending a lot of capital, so we don't believe we will have the funds to call that debt this year, because we would need about $7 million to call that in full. What our plan is to monitor our capital this year, reassess next year, and see when it would be in the best interest of RWU to pay off that debt, and just monitor the situation. And then below, this is the use of our restricted and unrestricted reserves, restricted reserves. It's kind of an in and out. Basically, certain monies we can collect can only be used for certain things. But the big line that I'm sure we're all curious about is our total cash that we expect to spend next year, $6,570,000. And as Matt presented to you, we've done a nice job in building up those reserves throughout the year. And so next year, we hope to really make use of that rate increase last year and this year and put that towards some capital projects. And this is just a revenue budget, a little more detail. If you wanted to see what was in those numbers that I presented at first, it is a breakdown of our residential, commercial, industrial, all those miscellaneous items that are just broken out. So the first column is what we originally budgeted. The second column is where our financial reporting was at March 31st, and we use those numbers to base off our estimated next year or this year to project our next year. So you can see we've kept pretty conservative in most of our categories, with the exception of reducing our interest income, our access and impact fees, and bumping up the billed water for that rate increase that's coming. So next year we're looking at, with our revenues and our expenses, a profit of $2,675,000, which is slightly more than where we think we will be this year. So still a strong year for accrual accounting, but just definitely plan to use that cash that I showed you earlier. Going over our expenses, I'm just going to kind of touch on a few items that I mentioned, but feel free to ask me if you see something that jumps out at you. I mentioned our Beaver water purchases are expected to increase next year with their rate increase and growth. You can see last year we had about $4,885,000 projected. Well, we sold more water this year, so we actually bought, we think we're going to end up at $5,100,000. And then next year, we're looking at $5,305,000. So a significant portion of our water expenses is the water purchases from Beaver Water District. So 4% next year increase there. A depreciation, which is an accrual accounting book entry, with that significant capital that we have planned this year, depreciation in the non-accounting term says that while you pay for it today, you have to recognize the cost of using it in future years. So this is us recognizing the cost of that in future years, which hits our financial statements and affects our profit and loss. So we have about $14 million of water capital that we're going to review. And so because of that, we anticipate our depreciation to go up about $257,000. Wanted to point out here our software and maintenance fees. This increased double from the prior year, but this includes our billing software and accounting software with Tyler Technology, that annual maintenance, as well as our networking contract and other IT maintenance. And IT, I'm sure you can see in all of your daily lives and jobs, is growing, and the need for IT services is forever expanding. So overall increase in general expenses is 7%, which seems a little high, but when I go over those specific items, it's definitely defendable. Wanted to look at engineering. They don't have very many significant changes. You'll see in engineering, as well as field and office, every department did not use their travel and training budgets that they anticipated due to COVID, due to the GIS software taking a little longer than anticipated to roll out. So those numbers, while they're not going to be in this year, they're going to be in next year, and they make these numbers kind of seem skewed, but they're not. So for engineering, no changes in staffing other than our COLA and our merit that we have included in our budget at 2% each. The software insurance, overall $335,501 for the engineering department. Sorry. And then for the field items, sorry, I'm jumping around, I'm trying to page down. We do have one staff, additional staff in the water department included in this budget. Johnny has asked and Brent has allowed, and our budget allows additional staffing to help with some of that turnover that we're seeing in the field department. Our logic is if we have an extra body, that will give us an extra person when those times come. That we won't be in such a pinch, and that there's definitely work for them to do as well. So we've kept, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Having trouble with the screen. I go too fast and then I go too slow. Okay. We kept our field repair and maintenance at $250,000. We have used a significant chunk of that this year. So we feel like that's valid, and it's always subject to change too, as those costs of parts and items are increasing as well. Otherwise, no significant changes in the field department. In the office department, we do have an additional staff member, which is our network admin that the commission approved early in the year that is included in this year's budget, which affects our benefits and likewise for that. Meter reading is no significant changes from the prior year. Same staffing, 139,000 is what we're projecting compared to 140 that we projected last year. So overall expenses of 12,545,000. This is the capital, which is always pretty interesting, and Brian can chime in about specific projects. But next year we're looking at right under $14 million of capital items. And that includes our routine computer hardware and software, those as ArcGIS software and the billing and accounting software, as well as meters, new and replacement as we continue with our meter changeout program. New vehicles to replace some very old trucks that we currently have. And then the most significant portion is our water and sewer line replacements and extensions. And if you want to see some of the detail of those projects, they are included in this detail below. So this first area right here are the city projects that we participate in. So when the city goes and does a project, we chip in and do our water and sewer line work with that project. So they are, they're the city's work directly affects what work that we do and what jobs. And then the second area here is what RWU on its own is planning to address and work on. So this is the first number one here is replacements. So taking care of the existing system that is in need of repair due to age, breakage, leaks, things like that. And then this item number two is the same breakdown, but it is for extensions, which is growth in the new areas that we need to service. Do you have any questions on that? Okay. And then this is our salary budget. I mentioned that we were requesting some staff during the year. And this is a very condensed version of what was in those expenses. So fiscal year 21, our budgeted salary is $1,523,000. Next year, we're looking at $1,688,000. The reason for those changes is we do have one engineering intern, which is a minimal item, but we are bringing in some interns this year, one additional field tech, and one additional. Okay, sorry. So we're increasing our staff by two next year. And then we're going to look at the same information for the sewer department, but I promise it will go much quicker. So for the sewer department, we projected $14 million almost of revenues. Next year, we're looking at almost $16 million of revenues. And that is primarily in the billed revenue, and because of that, also rate increase. Rate increase in the sewer department is 12% with an additional 2% growth. And we also were very conservative with our interest income and access and impact fees. Operating expenses, they have a will increase from estimated, but in the sewer department especially, we have spent less than what we originally budgeted. So the reason for that has been, I believe the plant has been doing pretty fair on the repairs and maintenance this year compared to the previous couple of years. But when things are going well, then they don't go well. So we definitely want to keep those monies accounted for in this coming year's budget. And we did have some turnover through the year, which definitely helped our expenses with salary and benefits as well. And then going over our debt, we have one debt outstanding in the sewer department, and that's $1.5 million that we need to pay of principal and interest through the year. Our capital, we're looking at about $17 million in sewer, and we'll go over those details in just a minute. Overall cash, we're looking at spending $7,940,000 next year. Those are some big numbers, so we'll see. They're our best guess as of today. For the sewer department revenues, same story there, almost 16 million in revenues. Expenses are right under 12 million. We're projecting a profit of $3,960,000 next year, which is a decrease from what we're expecting this year, but we expect our expenses to be more in line with previous year's budgets. In expenses, most significant item in general that increased is the depreciation for the $17 million of assets plus our existing assets, as well as the software that we are going to bring into the system during the year. Engineering, no significant changes in staffing or operations there. Just planning to use some of that travel and training that we did not use in the prior year. Field salaries, we have also included an additional sewer field tech, so one in water, one in sewer. And then we have also reclassed one of our field persons to the office. So you'll see the office increase a little when we go down. So just a reclassification of an employee. And then in the office, what I mentioned there, that reclassification of an employee, but otherwise no significant changes other than we've done a good job this year in keeping our expenses in check. And then meter department, same as the water. There is no significant changes from the prior year. Jerry, am I frozen?
It's working.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. And then pollution control. Salaries, we have one additional staff that the commission approved in this fiscal year that is included in this year's budget that was not in the prior year's budget, as well as one intern out at the plant as well. We do have some interest savings from paying off the 2010 sewer bonds through the year. I think I'm having some lag, I apologize. There we go. So here's where we paid off our 2010 bonds that we do not have that expense anymore. So that saved us about $40,000 to $60,000 in the year. And depreciation, we have that component here as well in the pollution control. We are anticipating putting into service phase one of our solids handling and depreciating that, which has an impact on our financials. And then for the environmental operations, and maintenance, no significant changes from the prior year budget. Again, this year's cost savings have just been nice and unexpected. I did want to point out on the sewer disposal revenue, we have not budgeted any revenue for the biosolids pickup. If you recall, last month or two, we did not receive any bids for that pickup, so we did not include any revenue, which is minimal otherwise. So we're looking at $11,955,000 of expenses in the sewer department. For capital, as I mentioned earlier, we have $17,660,000 of capital. A lot of those same projects that I mentioned in water, the new softwares, trucks, as well as we also have pollution controls component. They're planning on starting solids handling phase two, working on train two rehab. Some maintenance, building remodels, lift station, some significant changes out there. And again, we have inclusion of the city projects as well as RWU projects, replacements and new and extensions. And then the sewer salary, just to give you a summary, last year we had budgeted of $2,261,000. Next year, we're looking at $2,429,000 with the addition of three staff members from that prior year budget. And again, that's a field tech, and that's a CSR1 during the year, and a plant ops tech, as well as one intern in the pollution control department. And then lastly, all of these numbers, what do they mean to our bottom line? So as a recap, I said of water, we're looking at spending $6,570,000. If we do that, it looks like we're going to be at the end of the year next June, our water reserves will be at $12,599,000, which is still above our minimum reserves if we do that. And then for the sewer department, we're looking at spending $7,940,000, which would leave our reserves at $12,032,005. Which again is still above our minimum reserves. And we have done the extra step of looking and guessing at what next year's minimum reserves would be, and we feel comfortable with those numbers. If something changes throughout the year in our estimates and our budgets, Brent and Brian and the team will look at that and address and shift accordingly. So that's all I have for you unless you have questions. I would ask for approval of the fiscal year 22 budget.
That looks very good. Did a great job presenting that, and the numbers all seem like they flow quite well, and that is why we have reserves, is to use them.
Yes.
Right. And what'll be interesting is to see that the reserves have fluctuated. You'd have to look them up, but between whatever the low figure was for the last 3 years up to.
Yes.
40?
41, yeah, we're at 41.
And now it's projected to be 24.
Yes.
So what would be interesting to see what that number, that difference consists of.
Yes.
Which are all capital projects, I guess.
Capital, primarily. And so this year, you know, we had projected budgeted, you can see that June 30, 2021 number. We had thought we would be, that's where we think we're going to be at this end of this year, but I don't have that number in front of me, I apologize. But we had thought we would significantly spend a lot of our capital last year when we did the budget. However, due to COVID, due to, you know, city project timing changes, not being able to get some of the materials in the time that we anticipated, it slowed our projects. And so while that's been the trend that our capital slows, we want to plan for what we think is going to happen, kind of like not the worst case scenario, but if we can accomplish what we truly want to accomplish, get the materials in, get the projects completed, and still leave Rogers Water in a good place, that's our goal. The capital is the most significant driver in that, and then the rate increase that we had last year and the one upcoming is definitely providing us with additional funds. This year alone, it's providing about $1.5 million in water and $1.5 million in sewer. So,
yeah, probably the one thing that everybody's got to watch out for, and it's occurring across the board. Nobody's we're all included in it. The supply chain costs are going up just across the board everywhere we're seeing. And I imagine, you know, Rogers Water Utilities will be no exception, but I'm sure the number we get will wind up being very close to this number, but due to whatever the timing is of projects. I'll make a motion to approve the budget as submitted.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the budget as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, believe we have it all approved. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. Good job, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'd just like to call
great
out.
Great job.
Thank you so much for coming off maternity leave to present the budget to the committee.
No problem. I better go get her. My husband's like, where are you?
Take care. Thank
you. All right, thanks.
Okay, next item up is the CEI downtown report. Brent Massey.
I'd like to introduce Brent Massey with CEI. He's a principal over there, and for the last I guess about a year and a half, we've been working with CEI on this water and sanitary sewer master plan that will be our guide downtown as downtown redevelops over the next 20, 25 years or so. So I'll hand it over to Brent to give us a summary.
Well, Jennifer ducked out. I was going to let her handle my presentation. She did so well on the budget. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to present. I will try to give you a 30,000 foot view and just give you the high points. And if you want to ask questions, we can do that as well. Brian, do you have the PowerPoint or do I have control?
Is Jerry here? Can we put that PowerPoint in?
You have control as a presenter, so you can present your PowerPoint.
Okay.
I see it. Or I All see right. your email.
Okay.
I see your email.
Got to figure out which screen.
We're on the email screen.
Okay. Let me just move that over. Okay. Let's try this.
Perfect.
Everybody see that okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let me just jump right into it. The first part of our equation, just a 20 year outlook, hired by the city in conjunction with RWU to look at the downtown regional center. And so we use the comprehensive growth map that you see there on the left. That is the downtown regional zoning plan. Per the comprehensive growth map adopted in February 2019. And that was the basis. So parameters of our study, essentially from Olive Street on the north to Ulrich on the south, 8th Street on the western side, and then east to the Jagged Edge, east of the railroad tracks, three unsewered areas that make up this downtown regional center. And so that's the context of our study. In our study, we looked at a couple of different things for comparison. The overall demographics for a 2% growth rate based on population, if you look at census data, current population of City of Rogers around 70,000, projected in 2040 to 105,000. The downtown regional center in this geographic area showed at approximately 1,995 people. With that 2% growth rate, it comes in 20 years as just over 3,084. And so that's the basis of our start. You see the different zoning map, parts of the zoning map, and we're going to use that kind of as a basis for our contextual study. This particular area, we broke it up into 8 distinct sub areas. You can see that there on the graph on the left. Some of those are neighborhoods. If you can see that A on the left, that's a generally a strong residential single family neighborhood. The far western half in ours along 8th Street, a commercial corridor. And so we evaluated each one of those sub areas in a block by block fashion. In other words, we looked at essentially every property to look at the potential for densification. The area you see on the right is an example of that. And so we looked at block by block. In this example, right downtown, you can see the Rail Yard Bike Park there in the far bottom right corner of that image. And each one of those little designations is a property or a group of properties that is that we looked at from a planning perspective, from a zoning usage perspective, from a water and sewer perspective, to be able to identify the propensity for densification. In other words, maybe it's a single family today, that has an opportunity to upgrade because of proximity to other commercial areas or other business areas, depending on what's around it, transportation opportunities, the master plan with the city. We looked at all of those components really on a block by block basis to be able to determine, does this particular property or group of properties have a propensity to densify to a higher use? And what you see in the middle there is the basic concept that we use in terms of identifying that building square footage per acre. And so from a land use perspective, and then a building square footage per acre, and then put that into a pretty substantial spreadsheet and analysis to look at the propensity for densification over this 20-year period. Then we put those into the calculations for our water usage, our sewer usage, and talk a little bit about that. So when we get into the calculation, look at the model. So are you seeing the water system upgrades? Okay, great. Different on two different screens, so perfect, right? Water system upgrades, once we do those densification calculations for the entire downtown area, then we start looking at the actual capacities of those pieces, opportunities to be able to complete the loop system, and our general study of the water side of the model. And so what you see on the left is the overall map that includes all of the upgrades that we have proposed. Those are basically in six areas that we looked at. Number one being in capacity, so in two components of capacity, which are growth capacity of the system as well as fire flow and being able to have the appropriate fire flow coverage. Number two, non-conforming materials, so lots of old materials that no longer meet the RWU spec. We looked at those. Minimum size, as you all know, you've got water mains scattered throughout the downtown area, especially that have been around for years and years, long before a minimum main size was thrown out there. So everything from 3 inches and up may be in part of the system right now. And then hydrant replacement and coverage, just being able to make sure that we're meeting the fire safety and prevention codes as they are today. And then looping the system, maximizing efficiency in the system, being able to regulate as many of those areas of low pressure as we can. And then finally, just serving parcels that are limited in access. Maybe they were landlocked years ago, but that is a part of the equation that we looked at to provide all parcels within the city limits, and specifically in our case, inside this downtown corridor, all parcels, all properties have access to water and sewer. So those were essentially the basis for our analysis and the upgrades that we recommended. Out of that, we kind of grouped together out of all of what you see on the left. The example is there on the right, just to be able to see some detail, but you can see some call outs in that particular example on the right. You know, W13 is a collection of about three or four different pieces and parts for extended water mains. There are pieces there that W07 is just another project. We identified 24 collective projects, and that totals approximately $53 million. And obviously, those are a large swath of all of those six items that we looked at in terms of needs for the downtown corridor. And yes, the question that usually comes up, that $53 million that we have estimated, those 24 projects are just in the downtown corridor. So that does not necessarily include extensions of those mains or other things outside. So the infrastructure in downtown, yes, is old, is in need of upgrades, and obviously there are things that you can do to chip away at that. It's not an all-in-one big bite kind of mentality, and we tried to prioritize our system and our selection of projects and our recommendations to RWU in a prioritization that allows for you to chip away over it, at it over time. Up next, the sanitary sewer. Same basic philosophy, use the densification to start our calculations in terms of capacity. And so in the sewer side of things, five basic components: capacity, non-conforming materials, minimum size, again, lots of different things out there over the years. And then we looked at three unsewered areas east of the railroad tracks. That was a specific request for both the City of Rogers and RWU in terms of the question of, if you build it, will they come? Will it spark growth? Will it, you know, intensify the opportunities to strengthen downtown? So those were a part of what we did look at, especially on the sewer side, for those unsewered areas. And then again, any parcels in the downtown corridor that were not formerly served or currently served by sewer, those were identified as well. Again, same basic concept. You can see the different maps there, the overall map, and what you don't see are several of those thin black lines that need to be upgraded because of material or age, all of which are included in our estimates. But we identified 35 basic projects. Some of those are a project like reconstruction of manholes. That is a project that expectation would be you would chip away at those every year as you had projects in the area, or you identified a certain number of manholes each year that you're going to try to upgrade and repair. 35 projects in total, approximately $40 million in what we estimate. And so from those things, again, we tried to prioritize both water and sewer. As you know, some of those projects are already on your list for city projects that are already in capital improvement that either we are working on in design or are in construction, trying to tie those water and sewer projects together with street improvements. And then we also identified other ones that are outside of the current bond program or anything that the city has on tap, but things that would help the overall system capacity, urgency in terms of needs, materials, or size. So that's the 30,000 foot quick view. Looks like I'm at 10 minutes, so I think I'll end there and try to answer any questions that you might have.
So as some of these properties are potential, I guess they may not have anything on them, or maybe they do, but they potentially could be redeveloped as well, or developed for the first time. And does some of that cost, could it be, depending on timing, I guess, could it, some of it be borne, or some of the developers, would they have to bear some cost if as a result of doing some development? It's just kind of a general question.
Yeah, so I know from our perspective, we kind of looked at those options. We didn't make determinations, but we did include both on the water side and some looks at the sewer, especially in some of those unsewered areas. There is a question there of whether it's a city facilitated project to incentivize development, or whether development comes and is a requirement to make those improvements. And that's a discussion, I think, you know, probably between RWU and the city. And
right. Yeah. We've done similar, I think, in the past with like the promenade area and whatnot. So, okay. Yeah, that was pretty good. Looked very thorough.
And I'll just add that we intend to, you know, use this document as a guide for downtown redevelopment in the next 20 years and beyond if necessary. Of course, you know, kind of monitoring that develop to make sure that what's actually happening was in line with the development redevelopment assumptions in the report. And one thing that we're going to be vigilant in doing is looking for opportunities to maximize the value of some of these projects by working with the street department, working with developers. And so anytime you're reconstructing a street, hey, let's get in there. This water sewer line is scheduled to be replaced. And so we'll be looking to partner on these projects however we can to maximize that value.
No doubt. But yeah, the old part of downtown is definitely, the infrastructure is very old.
And we'll still work with the facilities extension agreements that we have. Whereas if, you know, we identify a 12-inch main is needed there, the contractor will pay for the 8, and then we'll pay for the difference. There's a lot of that as well. And to note one other thing, you know, I won't say we won't ever, but we're not going to put stuff out somewhere just in case. We want to be very sure of what's coming, so we spend that money right the first time.
Very good.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Next up, Brian.
Yes, we've got the selection of the construction manager, general contractor for the field office and admin project here on South Second Street. This is our campus down here that Hyatt Jackson's currently working on the design. This is the same procurement process that we used with the first stage of the solids handling at the plant. So what we propose is to bring a contractor on early in the design process. And right now we're in the conceptual stage of design, and so that construction manager will serve as an advisor to the design team to give us some really good insight on schedules, construction phasing, materials estimates. Especially in these times now, we need all the help we can get with materials availability and price. And then as we get closer to a finished design, they'll transition into a general contractor role and give us a guaranteed maximum price for this facility after we've gone through the value engineering process. And so we issued a request for qualifications and received 9 statements of qualifications from some very highly qualified local contractors. Brent and Johnny and I were the selection committee. We graded them based on those 4 components, and we recommend the selection of Flintco LLC for award of the CMGC contract for the field office and admin facility. And once we negotiate a contract for those pre-construction services, we'll return to the commission. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'll make a motion to for GCCM selection, make Flintco the selection.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to select Flintco for the CM, the GC contract for the RWU field operations. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, that has it.
Thank you.
Okay, next, Brian again.
I would like to table this item until next month. I couldn't quite get everything I needed lined out by the time the e-packet was ready. So we'll save this engineering contract amendment for the June meeting.
Okay.
The next item is the contract with Kraft & Tolan Associates for Second Street Waterline Improvements. So this includes a waterline replacement from, we stubbed out a waterline there at Oak Street during the Montanay project. And right now we have one of those older 2-inch cast iron water mains running up Second Street to the corner of our administration facility here. We propose to upgrade that to an 8-inch line. There's a couple reasons for the timing of this. There is some development going on here at the corner of Mulberry that requires some fire protection. Also, the Parks Department, we will be working on this facility on the corner of Oak and Second, and so we'd like to get this water line replaced prior to that that facility being repaved and fences and landscaping put in. So let me come back to the sheet here. So this is a design contract. Staff recommends the approval of professional services with Kraft & Tolan Associates for hourly and reimbursable expenses in the amount of $35,500 and allowing staff to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement. Be happy to answer any questions.
I make a motion that.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I make a motion that we approve the professional services contract with Kraft & Tolan Associates for hourly services and reimbursable expenses in the amount of $35,500, allowing staff to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve Kraft & Toll Associates for the services. All in favor, say aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm afraid that motion might have misstated the price. I believe Mr. Sartain's requesting $35,000 on that motion. The stated motion said $3,500, and I don't think that's what was intended.
$35,000.
$35,500. I will amend that motion to say $35,500.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman, Commissioner McClure.
And I'll second that.
All right. So we have a motion and a second for the between Kraft & Toll and Associates for the hourly services and reimbursable expenses in the amount of $35,500. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries.
Thank Robert, you. We were just trying to save some money there, man.
Well, I didn't want to come back next week.
$3,500, unfortunately, just won't buy what it used to.
Neither will $35,500.
Okay. And the next item is we have the bid results for Garrett Road and Mount Hebron Park. The city actually received bids, I believe, in December of last year for this project. However, the utility work was not appropriately split out, so we had to go back to the engineer and the contractor and had to go through several iterations of working out what part of that bid was utilities and then breaking it down into what part was specifically for the park itself versus utility upgrades along Mount Hebron Road, Garrett Road, and for our future water tank site. And that took a while, so we're just now getting this request to the commission. After breaking out all the expenses, we have that reimbursement number, and the bid was from Emery Sapp and Sons was the low bidder, and staff recommends the approval of that low bid by Emery Sapp and approval to reimburse the city of Rogers for water and sewer construction expenses in the amount of $249,199.74. And that includes water and sewer relocation along Garrett and Mount Hebron. And also we're going to stub out a 24-inch water line at the future water storage tank site adjacent to Mount Hebron Park. Sorry.
Need a motion to accept that bid. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, and also to reimburse the approval of funding to reimburse the city of Rogers for utility expenses incurred.
Okay, I move that the bid be accepted. It's $249,199.74, right? And that we reimburse the city of Rogers for, tell me the details again for the reimbursement.
So the reimbursement to the city of Rogers is the $249,199.74. I have the bid total on subsequent sheets here.
It's for the water and sewer construction expenses. I'll make a second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for the approval of the bid from Emery Sapp and Sons and approval to reimburse the city of Rogers for water and sewer construction expenses in the amount of $249,199.74. Say, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, so the bid results carries over. Okay, one other thing that is not on the new business, with the COVID restrictions being relaxed and basically the city is opening back up, do we want to start back with our in-person meetings for the commission meetings? How does everyone feel on that?
I'm not opposed to it.
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Okay. So do we need to vote on that?
The city allows it.
Mr. Chairman, the state of emergency, the emergency declaration was extended by the Legislative Council for another 60 days from March 31st. So at the end of this month, around then, unless the Legislative Council extends another emergency declaration, we'll have to meet in person in June.
Okay. All right. So we need to vote on that or anything, Robert?
No, sir. I don't think we can take any action to do that. If there's no emergency declaration, then the body will just need to convene in person.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. I'm going to ask the obvious. Are we still going to require masks?
I believe that'll be a management decision and a decision of the commission.
As we can't ask if everybody's been vaccinated, but you know, hey, I just want to know if we're going to wear masks or not. So
I think that's something we could discuss. I mean, like Robert,
I think if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
If you haven't, you should, or if you feel good, you can.
And we're going to trust everybody.
What?
And we're going to trust everyone to be honest about that, aren't we?
Oh, I've got a card in my billfold.
I do too. But we can't ask to see it.
Well, yeah, you can.
Well, discuss it. So it's fine. I'm forgetting back into it.
If someone wants to wear it or feels like they need to wear it to protect themselves or others or whatever, it's certainly an option. We're not.
Yeah, sure. They've got a right to wear a mask, of course. we're not going to stop them.
All right.
Yeah, I think everybody's discretion.
Yeah, I think if anybody wants to wear a mask, they get to wear a mask. And that solves the problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up, Mike, and then clarifying, Robert.
Yeah, if there's any legal requirements, we'll advise the commission prior to that. But I don't think there are going to be any legal requirements in June. But the city may still have some guidance. I've seen different things happening in different city offices. So we'll get smart on the any legal requirements for wearing a mask. And other than that, I think the sense of the commission will be that folks can do it if they need to for protection, and then that folks who do not need to won't have to. So we'll advise prior to the meeting.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you. Nothing else?
We'll adjourn this meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Look forward to seeing you with or without masks. Take care.
All right.